It looks like some group members got told to bring grub, and nobody told me that. Either that or I have selective hearing. Obviously, I have a less than ideal voice, so if you cannot hear me at any time, just raise your hand, please, and I'll try to speak up. I don't know what's happening to me. Dick Radke has been telling me I should be a poet. I'm almost ready to agree with him. I've discovered that all you need to write poetry is a sentence or a phrase that appeals to you, and then you just start fooling with words and see where it takes you. This is my excuse anyway. I'm sticking to it. I had shoulder surgery in October, so I hadn't been very productive through the fall months. And it came time for this reading, and it was coming closer and closer. Nothing makes you quite as productive as a deadline, it seems. I had nothing, so I told Dick, well, I'm going to write something, but I didn't know what. So I ended up writing two poems, and this is the one that the group told me I should read. I don't know, they're a bunch of radicals, and they probably like the ending. This is called Will. As a wee lad with cherubic face, I wished to please my parents and so would race to begin any task they requested of me. Familiar job or not, I felt it my lot to do my best when put to a test. It made me feel grown up, independent, and free. The praise that I had from my mom and dad made easy every trial, and I remember with a smile, unlike Sisyphus pushing boulders uphill, when bid to help out, I almost would shout, I will! When in my teens, filled with adolescent dreams, I got to work with my pop, and we wouldn't stop till the job was complete. We'd contemplate the work, neat and well done, to me everything new under the sun. In winter snow and midsummer heat, I took on a man's work, grew sinewy and tough. It seemed Dad couldn't praise me enough. But now a new view of work came to me. Physical labor was my cup of tea. Tough job to do, I'd fill the bill. I'd come when called and say, you bet I will. When I was in college, there was a war on, halfway around the world, out toward the dawn. I was 22 or 23, it sounded like adventure to me. Let them draft me, I will not shirk from shouldering my own share of the work. My fiancée, though, had another thought. You know, my love, you really ought to see if you can gain what can't be bought. Talk to our friend in the Army Reserve, he can get you in and you can serve along with him. His name is Bill, and I said, I will. Then off I went to the western coast to train as a soldier and learn the most I could of a soldier's work and liked it. In about 9 months, I headed for home to serve 20 years, but never to roam to Vietnam's sights and sounds and smell, where some of my comrades met their own private hell. Now my fiancée had become my wife, and soon with our little one, we began life on our own. In more than one way, our seeds had been sown. Our little family grew and my career too. Things could be a little rough. Often it seemed there was not enough income in teacher's pay, and so I had to stay and stay in the Army Reserve. My wife said, dear, you must stay if we are to pay every bill. I simply had to say, yes, I will. I worked long and hard at both of my careers. In time, our children, our little dears, went off to school and careers of their own. From the time they were small, we had deliberately shown them the intrinsic pleasure of work and to treasure their unique strengths and skills, the power of their wills in completing a task. You don't have to mask the pride you take in a job well done. They all know it, both daughters and son. They don't see work as being caught in the cogs of a rumbling, grumbling, grinding mill. No mental fogs. When there's work to be done, they step forward as one and say, we will. I retired in June, but couldn't stay idle. I looked about me and soon volunteered at a county park where I could work from sunup to dark in fair weather or murk. There I have peered about and decided, neither time nor tide will prevent me from doing outdoor work that I love, where I pause to watch the hawk and the dove. It truly makes me wish to shout from the peak of my favorite grassy hill, my friends, do you have work to do? Don't want to take it? Well, you know, I will. Well, we all have our limits, I guess. An acquaintance approached me the other day, and I confess I was not impressed by his address. You would be a great asset, he proclaimed, if you would work for my candidate. He's handsome and charming, his history unstained. Come on, get on board, it's not too late. A presidential run will be entertained. And what, I ask, are his qualifications, besides being a divider and taking vacations? He gives us all pennies while spending us blind and leaving us with a $2 billion bind. He enriches himself and his partisan cronies by sucking up to out-of-state monies. Thanks for thinking of me, but I tell you, Phil, this is not hard to say. Be damned if I will.